All right, what's up, guys? Welcome back to Late Night Shots Podcast, episode 82. We have a special guest with us today. We got Christian Carroll, junior World Team Trials finalist, I think. Would have you go
yep,
back?
Correct.
All right, what's up, man?
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing good, man. You know, I was doing great. We just filmed with Noah today morning. This should be uploaded tomorrow. It's going to be a fun day.
Heck yeah.
So, if you like, how are things going for you right now?
That's going good. My training situation is pretty good right now. I think even through the tough times during COVID, stuff like that, I've been very consistent and stuff like that. Last year, my freshman year, I had surgery on my knee, so I was out the whole season. So I didn't get to hit the mats full go roughly since July. So I haven't wrestled. Last time I wrestled freestyle was probably 2.5 years ago.
Oh, so you were kind of like brand new coming into it.
I mean, getting back in the swing of things, yeah.
Yeah, so you had, you know, probably, you know, obviously Bragg's name as you look at that as the most impressive run, just the way he was out.
Yeah.
You probably had one of the most impressive runs also. People just aren't going to look at it the same way because you ended up placing second. But you're a sophomore from high school who made the finals of the junior world team trials in two stops at that, right? I know everybody was praising Braxton for making 2-2, but you're a sophomore in high school. Did the same. He's essentially a freshman in college right now. And you look at all the other weight classes, these are mostly college guys winning these. You know,
for sure.
The only one other ones I really watched were obviously heavyweight, Wyatt Hendrickson won. The dude went 3 periods with Gable Stevenson and barely won.
Yeah.
That just kind of speaks to how hard it is. So.
For sure.
So if you want to start us off, like, when did you start wrestling and how did you get into it?
Okay, so when I very first started wrestling, well, I'll tell you how I got into it first. My dad, when I was 3 years old exactly, had this old Iowa VCR thing, and it was called Dan Gable Ultimate. And basically, my dad was kind of just subliminally messaged me as a kid with wrestling and stuff, kind of. And Dan Gable was on there in Iowa. And when I was a little kid, I saw him win national titles and stuff on this video. And I was like, Dad, I want to do that. And so that's when I was like, yeah, I want to do this for my life. And my dad started taking me to wrestling. When we first started, went to a real local club in the old town I used to live. And then we started moving clubs. We got this flyer that at one point is a school I used to go to called Penn. We had the biggest club in the country. Had the most kids. So, you know, my dad took me to the next best thing right away to get me good. And that's where I went. And that's for the majority of my childhood, you know, went over there and trained, rolled some guys. So,
yeah, I'll be honest. I'm pretty sure this is how like 90% of people end up being Iowa fans. Just watching those. Old, are you an Iowa fan or?
I'm not going to say just for recruiting and stuff like that, but I respect their style. They're aggressive. I mean, they get after guys. They like to dominate their guys. You know, they're bullies. So definitely fun to watch.
Yeah. I mean, I leave it pretty well known. You know, Penn State will come for next year. But,
for sure.
If you've ever seen some of the things I've posted, just slandering Iowa, like it's absolutely hilarious. But, you know, when you start getting onto mat, right? How old were you when you got onto the mat? You said you're 3 years old when you started watching.
3 years old. Yep.
You got on the mat.
So I got on the mat. I probably did 3 practices. My very first tournament, maybe I had like 6 practices, something like that. No more than that. My dad took me to Border War Nationals. So this is a tournament up in Battle Creek, Michigan. And my dad took me to a national tournament, first tournament, just started wrestling right away. And I went on the mat. He had me in two brackets. Had me in my age and weight, then he had me up in another division. I won my age and weight, then I got beat up pretty bad in the upper division, and I was crying. I was a little kid just crying, and I was like, I don't want to do this, Dad. So then he gave me a couple years to more mature. Then after that, a couple break, then at 5 years old, I started hitting the mat, and it was consistent. So
did you find yourself, like, how would you classify yourself, like, when you just started wrestling? Were you one of those guys who had, like, natural talent or one of those guys that kind of started to average?
You know what? I definitely think the feel for the sport definitely came natural. the technique, everything else, like just like any other wrestler, you know, definitely had to build upon. But with my hips and stuff, I kind of just had a natural kind of more athletic, you know, my body and some of the positions I comprehend like very quickly. So it definitely was, I would say it definitely naturally came to me. Yeah. For sure.
No, I just saw your background. No, Iowa.
Oh yeah. All the Big Ten schools.
Yeah. So you're looking at Big Ten pretty much.
I would say that there's some definitely like, I wouldn't say the exact type of school, but there's some EIWA schools I'm looking at and definitely Big Ten for sure. But I definitely want to keep my options open, you know, because some college might bring something, you know, I didn't know it's going to happen. So, but I'm definitely looking forward to the recruiting process.
Yeah, 100%. All right, I'm not going to bombard you with questions about recruiting anymore, but yeah, so, you know, you said you had a little bit just like natural drive, obviously get better at sport, which is kind of, you know, that's obviously a lot of times just going to win matches at a younger age. I mean, I didn't start my freshman year of high school, but you know, just looking at a lot of these matches, because we would have to go to our middle school to host, like, counties for middle school, which is basically, like, kind of like states, if you want to call it that. And then you would see these kids, like, some of them be, like, scared to wrestle. Some of them just didn't want to be there. And the other half of them were just mauling, like, the living shit out of these kids. It was,
yeah.
To be honest, I would film half the matches and, like, laugh at them. I remember, I feel so bad because, like, our middle school heavyweight, what he did, right? You know, have you ever seen these matches where, like, these, like, two fat little kids want to, like, bear hug the other and the other, like, fall on their knees and backwards?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Dude let out, like, the most awful sound possible after that happened. I probably have it somewhere in my camera roll. I got to post on Instagram sometime. But, yeah, no, like, so when you got into, like, middle school, our middle school is kind of weird. You're not allowed to do sports till 7th grade.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, you can't do it in 6th grade. It was something weird like that. I mean, I didn't play any sports in middle school, but I'm assuming.
Did your middle school, you guys, 6th grade was still middle school, right, for learning-wise?
It was 6th grade.
Okay.
Yeah. Just kind of weird.
Gotcha.
The whole New Jersey protection laws. It's a whole mess with everything.
With Indiana, our middle school – depending on the middle school you'd go to, but the middle school I went to was 6th or 8th. Mm-hmm. And I think one other sport, maybe track, but wrestling and track were the only two sports you could do 6th grade. And the rest, like football, you had to be 7th and 8th and above for every other sport you do. But track and wrestling was the only sport you could do 6th grade for our middle school.
That's so interesting. I think our middle school may be changing that soon, so that's a good thing. But, yeah, like when you got to middle school, I mean, it's obviously not like – did they scout you too much in middle school, or, like, what would that be?
Far as, like, colleges or just in general people?
Just, like, high school people. Because I remember, like, if you watch, like, I follow NewJersey.com, it's just, like, all sports and stuff and, like, a bunch of other stuff. There was this kid, Josh McKenzie. You may have heard of him, you may have not. The dude was out here, he was 182-pounder. He lost to Billy Janzer, if you know who that is, in state finals.
Okay, yeah.
Right, he was scouted like all the way from 7th grade. They would just put out so many videos about him. He ended up going to Bergen Catholic. This dude was repping 275 on the bench as a middle schooler.
Cool.
Like, obviously, New Jersey State's is no easy thing to win. He just ended up walking the studs.
Oh, for sure.
He lost an ultimate rideout as a junior, right? And he would have ran into Foca and Chris Foca in the lineup, right?
Are you guys one class?
Yeah, we only have one division.
Okay, that's the same thing as Indiana, we're one division too.
I know only a couple states have. I'm kind of shocked why PA doesn't. That's just, you know, because there's always going to be that argument that they have multiple divisions.
For sure, for sure. Should just have a true champion.
Yeah.
I think they did something similar to like that this year, though, I believe.
Maybe. I think
that would be the thing. AAA and AA.
Yeah. If they just put the champs up against each other. You know, I don't think they do much because you would have to have, like, technically a divisional champ in the – in state champ or something like that, but something I want your opinion on. You know the video about the wrestling on ESPN.
Yeah.
What's your opinion on that?
Just the double – or sorry, the classes in general?
No, you don't know what I'm talking about. You ever saw the TikTok video that was posted on ESPN with that dude who's on 27-0?
Oh, yeah. He's from Indiana.
Yeah.
He's from Indiana. He goes to Greencastle or Newcastle, one of the two, yeah, something like that. I think, you know, people said a lot of things to him, so I'm not going to, like, you know, be mean or anything. But, yeah, he posted that, and he didn't get out of state last year. He didn't even go to state last year.
People are telling me – I have some people telling me he plays third, fifth. Some telling me he didn't make it. And then I'm having comments coming at me. Like, I didn't tag the dude in the video or anything. I was like, hey, this isn't a high school undefeated wrestler, right? Like, we've seen Roman Bravo Young come through high school, Nick Soriano. Those are, like, generational talents.
For sure.
But it's like
– Yeah, he placed at state this year. Last year, I mean, when the video was posted before state run this year, but he didn't qualify for state. He lost semi-state. Our state is our state run and our semi-state. There is no wrestle back. So semi-state, you have to win two straight to advance to make it to the state finals, and you can't. There is no wrestle back. But yeah, he didn't qualify for state the year before, but I think he placed seventh this year, or something like that.
Yeah,
at 220.
I mean, that's pretty good for a second-year wrestler. The only thing that kind of caught me off guard is he transferred from Mississippi or something like that.
Okay.
And that's the only state that doesn't have wrestling in America.
Yeah, good point. Yeah.
Like, you know, I mean, my first instinct was just come on and bash him for lying about it for clout. But,
yeah,
you know, it also comes to, like, you kind of feel bad for the kid. Like, because people are telling me he made a mistake, he meant to put 27 no. Then it blew up. You know, I could only imagine people are telling him, because I have, like, hundreds of people sending this video to me. And it's just like even I feel bad for the dude, and I was kind of against him at first.
Yeah. I definitely, at first, when I first saw that, I got it sent to me right away because he's around my weight, you know, weight class above me. And they're like, what do you think of this? I was like, let me wrestle him. That's my first instinct. Let me wrestle the dude. But, you know, I got a little fired up. But, you know, it's put out there. He, you know, it is what it is. Like, I'm not going to chew him. You know, there's some people that I'm sure he got enough. But, you know, it is what it is. Hey, he's, you know, at least his career's, you know, he placed at state. So he's moving forward, which is good. So.
And he has another year, too, I think.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm assuming you're going 220 next year since you were at. Or is he going back to 95?
I'm going to stay around at 95 just for, like, any nationals tournament, Super 32, you know, if I go to who's number one, stuff like that, I'll be 95. But I'll definitely, for my season, I think the way my team's looking right now for my regular high school season, I might have to get 20 for our best lineup, our team that can do the best. Definitely I'll be 195 for, you know, just – rest of my career since I'm wrestling 97 and stuff, and I already cut from like 212, 210-ish, so.
That's not bad. I know I just got to college. Like, I have not seen people come like actual weight till I got here. Our 197 was about 235.
Oh, wow.
Nice. Yeah. Dude was like jacked to new levels. I looked at women for the first time. I thought I was strong, and then this dude's out here just casually repping five plates on deadlift. Just for absolutely, like, a warm-up, too. It was something. But I don't exactly know how you guys' season went in Indiana. Did you guys, like, have, like, a whole season this year and last year? Or did it get cut off?
Yeah, we had a whole season. I mean, it kicked off pretty well. We started, for the most part, I would say, a regular time. There are some tournaments that canceled, you know, not nothing surprising there. But, like, for the most part, it went good. Our state, dude, Indiana, I know Ben Askren said on a podcast, Wisconsin is the best state. It's not even close to Indiana. Indiana's superior for state finals. It's, it's packed out in the Pacer Stadium. The atmosphere, obviously, there's a limited amount of people for the state finals, so it wasn't, you know, as fun, and they didn't get the post-interview like they typically would. But Indiana, they have, for the finals, it's only once the last session is only the finals only. No one else is wrestling, none of the placements. It's one mat. Spotlight on that one mat, you know, they get a full introduction, all the stuff, their walkout, and like, dude, it's really cool. If you haven't seen Indiana State Championships, I think the best match to watch would be Chad Red versus Nick Lee.
No, I was just about to bring that up too. I'll be honest, like, just watching it was like an okay state final, but like, the hype behind it. If you saw, remember the end when Chad Red ran all the way to the stands?
Yeah. Yep. I watched it happen.
Right. Yeah. The ref went to chase him too on that.
Dude,
hilarious.
I'm telling you, you might not have, like, you just had, it's one of those things you just had to be there, yeah. Dude. It was insane.
Yeah. I know we have the exact same thing for New Jersey State Finals. I think Cali does them with two mats because they have girls wrestling sanctioned. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, ours, we just did the girls' state finals before, and then guys after. I remember you might know who John Pisnanski is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yep.
My senior year, you know, the dude has one eye, you know, he single-handedly. He tells me not to mention this in my podcast, but he single-handedly molested pretty much my teammate in the county finals. So we put him on blast there. It was bad. But, you know, state finals, he goes out there and tech pins the kid. Probably one of the loudest crowds I've ever heard.
Was that his senior year?
Yeah, that was his senior year. His junior year, I think he lost to Chris Folk in the finals.
Did he double AA?
When he was double AA. He was a freshman this year.
He was a true freshman? He didn't wrestle?
No, he wrestled this year as a true freshman.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. That's what I was saying.
What do you mean, like, he played?
No, he's at Rutgers, right? Yeah, that's what I was saying.
At 184.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay, sorry.
I don't want to be biased or anything because he's from New Jersey, but that high league semifinal was a little bit iffy.
Yeah. I definitely watched that match, but, dude, high league, dude, those brothers, man, they're a freaking nature.
Dude, like, some of them, like, I don't even want to be like that, but, like, Hayden's a fucking asshole. I don't really care, to be honest, but if you saw that match with Anthony Valencia where he started blast-dulling off the mat, like, into the concrete, whatever that was.
I did see that. That was at the U.S. Open. I remember watching that.
I was like, bro, what are you even doing at this point? Like, are you just trying to kill him before the match? Because I'm pretty sure if you injure him, he gets the win at that point.
Yeah, I definitely think – because it happened, like, three times or twice, I think. That's definitely overboard. But, you know, that's wrestling, you know. So I saw some people in the comments during some of the videos Flo posted about me and Braxton, and I was like, you know, people are trying to say or defend me or stuff. I'm like, the end of the day, he did nothing wrong. He did it in the rules of wrestling, you know. If you punch me, that's one thing, but he did, you know, everything, you know, in the rules of wrestling. Yeah, it makes me upset. Yeah, we'll definitely want to rematch him, get after it a little bit more, but it is what it is.
Yeah. I mean, it's really awkward, too. Like, if you know, obviously, J.O. is not going to the Olympics, I mean, as things stand now. But if you looked in the comment section, it's basically just everybody shit-talking Zane and Yanni.
Everybody, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, because Zane didn't qualify as spy. He's like, oh, Yanni would have been a better rep. And so I was like, you're essentially shit-talking your own guys, and there's pretty much no point behind it.
Zane got, what, caught? I forgot. Did he get thrown or something like that? Pan Ams? Something like that. He got pinned, so,
A leg lace up 8-0, and he got, like, caught, like, halfway through. The other guy grabbed the head and went cradle.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of what it is at that point, but.
Yeah, exactly.
At the end of the day, that was 100% a winnable match for J.O.
Yeah.
The dude just lost the most important match of his life after having, like, a miracle run, then people are shitting on him for it.
For sure, yeah.
And those are the same people that were hyping him up so much, too. That's.
Exactly. Yeah.
Kind of part I don't like about it.
Yeah, people are definitely there when you're winning, but then the minute you lose, first people will turn on you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's kind of the one thing that pissed me off about sport, because people are so two-faced with all this stuff, and it's just like, whatever. But no, if we go back into it, your freshman year, you just want to walk me through it. Like, what was the transition like from middle school to high school? Yeah, middle school to high school.
Yeah, so I definitely think it was kind of starting off with my mind. I don't know if I was ready for high school coming out. Well, my confidence level wasn't that high. My first tournament was Journeyman Classic, and I'm placing, I think, 7th or 8th there. And then the next week – or no, sorry, I go to Super 32. I think I win, like, two matches or something like that. But then a couple days later, I come back home, go to practice, tear my knee out. So
you then didn't have a freshman year, or, like, did you recover in time?
Sorry, what?
Did you, like, not wrestle your freshman year?
Yeah, no, I was out for 8 months. I had a you know, it was a meniscus tear, and majority of the time, if it was just, you know, a little torn up, they would have shaved it. I would have been back in 2 weeks. But it was cut in half, almost like a hamburger. And then I only have like 60% of it in anyways, because the rest looked like ground beef, like a little fuzzy ball.
Nah.
So I had to get anchored in, all this stuff. And it was actually, it's a longer process. I'm on crutches longer than it would be for ACL tear. So it was definitely a long process. And I had the option to remove it, because it's pretty common to remove it. But, you know, I got college ahead of me, all this stuff, and that's more important than, you know, especially at that time, it was definitely the future is more important than
what would have happened if you removed it.
I think it would have been like a 3-month process. My coach Chris Flieger, he's a 2-time NCAA runner from Purdue. He doesn't have meniscus in both knees, but the only problem with it is over time, the meniscus is the sponge part, mm-hmm. and your knee has two bones joints. Yeah. It would have grind down my bone eventually, you know, and probably be unable to walk. So
yeah, that's rough. Like, you see a lot of athletes with that stuff, especially linemen in football. Like, people think it isn't that bad, but like, damn. See something like, but yeah. So, you know, you want to fast forward to what tournaments did you wrestle? And like, were you back wrestling by the off season?
No, I didn't. I think I first stepped on the mat, I want to say June was when I was able to step on the mat. In July, I was able to go full goes. I finally got officially released completely from my physical therapist in July. The beginning of July, so I wouldn't either way. If there was a Fargo, I wasn't gonna wrestle when it had any preparation at all. So then I had to wait until this last fall to step in, which my first tournament was GFC, then Super 32.
GFC, am I tripping right now? What's GFC?
Grand Fall Classic.
Oh, okay. Is that just one actually, of the state things, or?
Huh.
Is that like a big tournament or like?
Yeah, it's a pretty big tournament. I actually wrestled Pettigrew in that. Mm-hmm. Noah.
What was the score of that match?
I had him in the semis. I beat him 8-1, and okay. It was. In a regular high school match, it would have been 7-1. I got a riding point because it was college rules.
Yeah.
But yeah, we definitely had a good scrap. That was my very first tournament in a year. So. I definitely had nothing to lose in my mind. My mindset was a lot better going into that. And I went in the finals, had the number 12 in the country beat him too. So knocked off two top opponents. That's how I kind of started to run.
Who was the finals?
Juan Mora from Cali.
I've heard of him, but yeah.
He's committed to North Dakota State.
Oh yeah. No, I know what you're talking about. I mean, Noah's my guy, so.
Probably. Dude, I love them. Yeah. Me and him were like this, man.
I might have to add you to the group chat now.
For sure, definitely.
We got like Noah, Chase, Jimmy, Mullen.
Like, oh, yeah, I text all those guys. Heck yeah, man, I text all those guys.
There's just like a bunch of other kids in there. Like they're cool, but like they're just in there just spamming Jimmy, Chase, and Noah with questions the entire time. But, you know, yeah, I'll add you after this. But, yeah. So, Super 32, how'd that go?
It went well. I think I wrestled 7 matches. I basically all the way up until – I want to say the match before my quarters, I think I had a national ranked guy, Isaiah Anderson. He's an Oregon State commit. Wrestled him pretty well. I was a little sloppy that match, but, you know, still got the dub. I think I majored him or something like that. Went on to the quarters at Martin Cosgrove, who was ranked, I think,
he was probably 6 at the time. 4-5, yeah. Yeah.
Huh?
He was around 4-5.
Yeah, and then I beat him, I think, maybe 5-1 or something like that, 4-1, something like that.
Were you ranked at this point?
Huh?
Were you ranked in the country at this point?
I was ranked 15 at 220 because I wrestled GFC, which was 215. And I came underweight. I just didn't want to cut weight because the weight class below was like 189. Yeah. So, and I beat those guys. So it got me ranked 15th then going into this tournament. But then I knocked off Cosgrove, who was top. Then I had some Laskin or something like that. I butchered that name, but he's from Campbell Commit. Mm-hmm. He's ranked in the country now. I wrestled him. I beat him. Like, I don't know if I majored him. It would have been pretty close to a major if I didn't. Then I had Gavin Nelson in the finals, who was ranked, I think, 9 or something like that at the time. Then I beat him 3-1, I think.
Dude, you just casually – I remember the first one I was listening to. You just casually said I majored some nationally ranked kid. I was listening to
I didn't mean it like that. But.
Yeah. I mean, it's whatever. I mean, at that point. But what was the score between you and Martin Kozarov? Was it closer?
Yeah, it was pretty close. It was like 4-1. I'm pretty sure it's 4-1. I know he definitely escaped.
Good too. Like, huh? Cosgrove is insanely good too.
He's a beast.
He had to miss states too this year because he broke his hand.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that actually. I was texting him and told me that.
I mean, you know, my boy won states at 195 because of that, so I'm kind of torn. But like, I feel bad for the dude. Like New Jersey states was like an absolute mess this year. Like, it was hell at high school. And then after the tournament, that high school's head coach got arrested and just walked out of the building. Oh. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like typical Jersey.
I bet Jimmy's pretty happy he skipped states.
I mean, I don't – like, I've talked to Jimmy so many times. We're getting Jimmy on the podcast soon, whether he wants to be or not. But would you give up your chance to be a four-timer to go to cadets?
You know, at that point, yes, I definitely would, to win a gold medal for sure, because those opportunities are limited. And I think that's a great set, like a mindset. You know, he's not worried about, you know, most people would be like, oh, I'd get my four. No, he's worried about bigger, better things. Yeah. And like, he's not worried about just the now development. And I think that's awesome.
Yeah. I know I said he's the next Gable Steveson. I'm going to stand on that until I'm proven otherwise. We'll see. But, yeah, no, I get that. But, like, I think this is more the state's fault for having them on the same day.
I agree, definitely. Because,
you know, like, I think everybody knew Jimmy was going to win if it came down to it. Just looking at the match between him and Chase Horn at the – if you watched that, the Knitting Line Wrestling Club card.
I did see that on Rockfin, yep.
That was wild.
Yeah, for sure.
Dude, it's so awkward on this page because, like, everybody's friends with each other. I remember after I posted, like, a reel of that, Chase comments, they call me Kyle Snyder. Because he got hit with, like, that roll that Snyder got hit with in 2018, I think it was. It was something else. But, like, all right, so sophomore year, walk me through it.
So, kind of just leaving off Super 32, that's how that went. Then I came off – couple weeks later, there was some situation stuff with my dad's job and stuff like that. So I had to transfer schools last second. And I'm at the school I'm at now, this school I transferred to, New Prairie, which is an awesome school. Love the coaches, super nice, great atmosphere in the room. We have, a full four mats room. It's pretty big. Then I lost my season due to the transfer. I hold no grudges against other school or anything like that. It is what it is. That's part of life, but.
So essentially, you can be a two-timer now.
I would say that confidently, yes.
Yeah. I mean, you know, as you said, you know, if we're going back to the whole Jimmy thing, you already made the junior world team trials finals, right? As a sophomore in high school, like, this is – like, as long as you get one of them, it's like, okay, cool. You know, I would say champ in high school. Because if you look at it, what's the difference between 1, 2, or 3? Nothing really. Like, if you're a four-timer, it's like, okay. And you, at this point, your freshman season's like, it's whatever at this point. You know, that's obviously nothing you can change. So, I mean, that's just the way I look at it, right? It's either you're or you're a four-timer.
Definitely.
Yeah. It's like, you look at guys like, I don't know anybody, but like a three-timer, it's like, okay, but they weren't the best at a point, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, were you saying something before that?
Sorry, what?
You were saying something before that?
Oh, I was just saying it stinked because I went to losing a year because injury than losing a year because of eligibility. So, but it is what it is.
I don't even think they have that rule, though, in Jersey. It's like a 30-day sit-out.
Okay, gotcha.
Because I remember this when AJ Ferrari, they left Blair. I'm pretty sure I heard they got into fights, whatever. I really don't care. And then he was going to end up being the 220, I think. Because you might not know, Jacob Cardenas was in 95. He was set to win a second state title. Ferrari bumps up to 220. Solid chance he would have won, probably not. But and then he ended up having to sit out and then just went back to Texas next year.
Yeah.
Yeah, that whole dude just doesn't make sense to me in general. But, you know, it's like he followed me, so I don't even know how to feel about that. Because I picked him for Nationals to win in 97.
He's definitely interesting person. I definitely keep up with him just because you don't know what he's going to do next. So he's very unpredictable, I'd say.
Dude, like I guarantee you, like, he's probably one of the most chill dudes to be around. But he's just cringe on social media, and I really don't know how to feel.
Yeah.
I know, what's it called? If you know, you know what a Stalemates is?
Yeah.
Wrestling yep. show. They put out a podcast with AJ Ferrari's dad.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's probably one of the most interesting ones I've seen. He's like, when they were talking about it, it's like, we'd get pictures of guys and hang them up, like, over their beds, the guys that they were going to wrestle. And then after we beat them, we would take the pictures and burn them. Or something like that.
Wow. Wow. Some motivation.
Yeah. I mean, it's not that bad. It's kind of funny when you think about it, but, like, you know, I mean, the dad's doing something right there, freshman national champion.
I would definitely say that would fit their persona or, you know, definitely.
Yeah.
I don't want to say it's not true, but, you know, it definitely helps, you know, build their character and their persona they're trying to build.
Yeah. I mean, that's crazy because I never realized, you know, obviously I know people, everybody was, you know, talking shit about Ferrari after the whole Gable Stevenson thing went down. He's like, oh, this dude's not going to play Nationals. He's not going to do anything. You know, then he goes down and wins it, right?
Yeah.
And then at the trials, you know, obviously Machiavello's no random guy. He's
oh, yeah.
He loses 3-1, right? And if he got the last second takedown, he wins on criteria. And then he got robbed against Ben Honus, right?
What about Honus? I was just going to say, what about Honus, man?
It was 4 for Ferrari. Like, as much as people want to hate the dude, you can't deny that was 4 for him.
What shocked me the most was Honus went, I mean, even with that throw controversial, either way it went, it was a close match. And I was doing some research and I found out Ben Honus, you know, he won the last chance. Mm-hmm. He lost to Cole Yerbis on a Rockfin card, who is a starter for UPenn, 197-pound starter. And that dude took 7th at EIWAs. And this was like, I would say 4 weeks before the last chance, Ben Honus lost to UPenn's 197 starter, then goes win the last chance qualifier, then beats AJ Ferrari. So I thought that was kind of
– Yeah, I had Ferrari teching him.
Yeah, so, for sure. Yeah, I would say the same.
No, way. I think if that match were wrestled again, it also has to be said that Ferrari was smaller than everybody there. And, you know, we saw my Nationals, he was bigger than everybody there. You know, like people talk about – Miles Mean, Cordell Norfleet, like they're big guys, and then Ferrari's just out here towering over everybody because, you know, obviously when you see the upper weights, freshmen, where they lack is normally size, and this dude's mauling. Like if you saw the match between Miles Mean, I know it was 3-1, but he, like, physically bullied him.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, I remember this one kid was in my DMs just – literally, Miles Mean every day would win. Just to piss him off, I would pick against him. Because I probably should have picked Miles Mean for Big Tens, but I picked Eric Schultz instead. And then I just picked Ferrari to, you know, just piss him off.
Since we're on the Olympic trial topic, I want to say this real quick. Definitely the most controversial match was, have you heard about Joe Rouse stuff going on?
Yeah, you know, you can say your opinion on that one first. I have my own thoughts on that.
I'll just do a full recap. He had the front head, threw it over, got 4, did the exact same thing, which is he did the exact over back him, which was fine. And Joe that ref was a Marine, and they knew that before the match. They requested to get a new ref, mm-hmm. and still didn't get a different ref. And, you know, John Stefanowicz, sorry if I butchered that. You know, he's a Marine. The only problem I had was with is when he stopped him for the next throw, Joe went up and asked him what he did wrong, and the ref had no explanation. He didn't give him an explanation.
And then they put him down in parterre. Yeah. What ended up being the score of that match?
I think I don't remember the final score, to be honest with you.
Did Stefanowicz 2 or 3?
Sorry, what?
Did he take both of the matches or just one?
Yeah, so John took – he tacked Joe the next match. But I was looking at Joe's podcast with Flo and how it just – it's really interesting. You should check that out, his side of the view. But it definitely with the ref – if you watch that first match, like, the ref wasn't giving Joe. He was pushing him, like, doing some things. Like, I definitely think it was there was a hand in the pot, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I'll give my take on this. Like, I just kind of want to hear what you had to say. But the match where he had that, you know, I listened to a bunch of different perspectives on this. My take is if they didn't stop it after the first one, they would stop it after the second. I don't think, you know, obviously he was a choke. It was a choke, you know, I think that's. But if they don't call it in like 90% of matches, I don't know about calling it in this one, right? Obviously, the ref had bias. I don't know how they can deny changing the ref. That just doesn't make sense to me. But even that being said, you know, I don't agree with all this arbitration stuff. I mean, he can do it. You know, like, obviously, I like the dude. Hell of a wrestler. But it's like, it just gets awkward between him and Stefanowicz because they have to practice together.
Yeah.
Joe retired, though. Like, unless – if he didn't retire –
I'm not gonna say anything, but hey, Joe's my boy. But he definitely, I definitely say, I hope he gets a match. I definitely think the swing, because John did go 2-0 for that best out of 3 straight. But I'm telling you, that match would have ended with that tech, because he had an arm still, and the way he took it back. I know there's some other rules into play. I don't know everything, but I'm telling you, man.
It was clear as day. That was a tech. But so hear me out. Say if he does get that match and he does get the spot, who's he going to be training with?
I'm sure what's his name, if that happened when you know, went go to Tokyo to do that.
Yeah. I mean, he'd probably just be training, getting tossed by Hancock all over the place. I mean, that man is massive.
Oh,
how he is not placed yet. Like, I feel bad because I keep bringing up Braxton, but like, damn.
No, you're good, dude.
Like, he got handled. And, like,
yeah,
that just says a lot about how good Hancock is, because Amos cruised through pretty much the entire tournament.
Dude, Hancock has the tools. Like, I know this might have been 2 years. It might have been 2 years already. Wow. He beat the Arthur – I don't know how to pronounce his last name. He's Arthur from – yeah.
Yep. From Army.
So, it's like he has the tools. He just –
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that dude's an absolute tank. Like, I started watching a lot more Greco. Like, that dude could very well go up against Adam Kuhn and have a solid shot.
Yeah.
You know, like,
for sure.
And I think Hancock pinned him, too.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did pin him.
It was a lat drop. I remember I posted on that. Yeah. That was, like, way back when I was just, like – because when they came out with this creator fund on TikTok, right? I got to 10,000 because one of my videos started blowing up. It was like Lucas Ravano goes to Penn, pinned the defending state champ in the finals with a defensive pin in overtime. I threw some 6-9 on that, got like 600,000 views. Get to 10,000 followers. Creative Fund pays you like 2 cents for every 1,000 views. So all I would do is like I literally took my mom's driver's license and put everything in her name and then comes my PayPal. I would go to YouTube. I screen recorded at least 100+ videos, and I just started editing and uploading all of them just to make like 10 cents off each video. And I remember that was the one. It started blowing up. It got like 150,000 views. And I feel bad because like half of the comments were just shitting on him because he never placed. And then they was like, I mean, like, let's be honest though. Like, they have a point, but like, you know, I genuinely think if Hancock wrestles the way he did, in the trials, he 100% medals. You know,
I agree. I 1,000% agree. I mean, he's definitely like, I don't want to say this. Greco's, I would say, fun and not fun to watch, depending on you're watching. But dude, he brings life to the sport.
He has an explosive style. The dudes, you know, I think he doesn't like me because I picked against him in the trials. I don't know why did they. It was just I had to make a bold take somewhere, you know. I had McKenna over Jordan Oliver too. Why I do this is beyond me, but like, you know, do you talk to like any of these senior level guys? I'm assuming you probably talk to a little bit of them.
Yeah, for sure. I definitely talked to Joe, so that's why I brought him up.
Yeah, because obviously, you know, you're a sophomore in high school and, you know, you're already up here competing with college guys, right? And, you know, if you do choose to follow Greco, you know, is there an extra, you know, maybe you plan on going down because of Hancock or whoever's there? You know, obviously, I think most people know eventually Kuhn's going to pass the spot on Schultz. You know, it's just been something right there. Are you big into watching, like, international, like Greco wrestling?
Oh, I love – oh, Greco? Fair amount, I would say.
You know,
Sorry, who were you gonna say? I was just gonna say, I could tell you what. If you say the name, I could probably tell you what country, but I couldn't say the name. If that makes sense, on the Greco side of things,
he's a pretty well known. You know, Mihan Lopez, pretty obviously.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, what do you think? Do you think Kuhn can medal?
My personal opinion is no, I don't think so. I think his medal from, what was it, 2018? Yeah. I think he was just a big dude coming in the tournament. I don't know how performance everyone else felt him, but I think I know this sounds – I don't want to discredit the dude, but I think his style is I'm big and I'm bigger than everyone else series. And I just don't think – I mean, I would definitely say he's very limited. But he is a big man, big body move.
So weight makes more of a difference in Greco than it does in any other style.
I would agree with that.
I mean, he's a chill dude. You know, I can't say no because I'm trying to get him on the podcast. I genuinely don't know, though. But if I did have to look at it at this point, we obviously – is Mihan Lopez still the favorite over Riza Kael if he's 38?
Hey, no. No, man, hey, he's a beast. He's a beast, don't get me wrong, but Turkey's strong, man. Turkey's strong. He's getting that dub.
Who you got at freestyle heavyweight then? Let's hear that. Yeah.
I want to go with Gable, of course. I want to go with Gable. Team USA, he looks like he's a man. But I would say, dude, I'm telling you, it's Taha and Goal. It's been – I don't know.
He's been like
Gino's pretty good, yeah.
But after the
go ahead.
No, yeah, I don't even know what I was gonna say. You got it,
dude. I'm telling you, every time I watch the European Championships, Taha. At least it's been like I'd say the last 3 years because Gino hasn't been dominating heavyweight, but that long anyways. But Taha will win Europeans, but then Gino Petrovili will win the world title. So it's like, I don't know between those two. Thing,
great. If you look at it, you know, you run back to 2012, you know who Arthur Tamazov is.
Yep.
Okay, so you're big, like, into international wrestling.
Right. I love international wrestling.
I'm telling you, I post, like, these old clips just because I've ran out of content to post. And it's like if I keep posting Gable every day, I have people telling me that I'm sucking his dick. But if I don't post him, people are like, why are you not posting him? So it's just like a lose-lose situation on my part. And everybody is on his ass for roids. You know, see, like, obviously if Gable wins, that's cool, right? You know, there's also the possibility that he doesn't place. You know, if you think about that, it's like – because I guarantee you if Taha comes out there and just – you know, just hits a quick single, laces him up, and texts him. Everybody's gonna be making excuses for him.
Mm.
No, I mean that's cool and all, but you know, you look at it from. Nah, you gotta give me a second. I gotta search something up real quick.
Yeah, no problem. I definitely agree with you on that one. You know, that's what I'm excited to see. I don't have a really a dead set thought on who's going to do what, but I'm going to take Gable, man. He's Team USA. He's the man right now. And I think his confidence rolling in is going to be unbeatable.
Yeah. You know, let's look at it from this perspective, right? If Taha beats Gable, you know, it could very well just be a procession match, right? You know, you also have to realize Taha, the only thing really stopping him from winning in 2012, like, he was 22 in 2012, right? He wasn't like a teenager back then. And he looked like a 15-year-old. The dude's gotten bigger, stronger, and faster every year. People don't realize that the man's like 6'5", 270.
Yeah, yeah. He's a tank, like, man.
He might just be faster than Gable, too. Like, genuinely, like, these guys can – we'll call it equal, but, you know, like, it's crazy when you watch it.
No, that's such a fair point you brought up. I mean, I'm hoping – I don't want to say this because this kind of sounds dumb to say because, you know, Gable had a decorated cadets and juniors, you know, international career. But I'm hoping, you know, him coming in, they just hopefully look past by him and, you know, start, you know, he's getting after these guys. You know, hopefully that plays a little mind games. I don't know, at that high level, you know, guys are probably pretty good with their minds. But, you know, you never know. Yeah, you know, you don't know.
Yeah, so my take on it, I'm pretty sure everybody knows who he is. I posted the clip of Gable after winning the trial saying, I put out a tweet a while back that I was going to wrestle Taha Gul. It's going to come – I quote him exactly. It's going to come true this summer, and I'm going to take care of him. Somebody apparently tagged Taha Gul, and I couldn't see it. I checked back like an hour later. He liked the post, and he liked the comment too. So he knows who he is. And
yeah, Gino, for sure. I assume so.
And Gino follows him on Instagram. You know, that could tell me two things. One, he's just a friendly dude. He's like, all right, we're cool. Or two, he doesn't view him as a threat.
Dude, I do that. I do some of that kind of the same things because I like it because I think it almost, I don't want to say takes power away, but it kind of does. Like, hey, man, like, I don't see you as a threat. Like, I'll fall, like, you know, I don't mind.
Yeah, I mean, I was cool with pretty much everybody I wrestled in high school, you know. It was really nothing ever. We all knew each other for football. So it was like the most awkward match because we would like start headbutting each other all the match, about to throw hands, and later the night we'd text each other. I was like, hey, what's up, bro? And it's like, all right, like you mainly see that in the upper weights too. Like all these lightweights, like if you look at Rob Howard, like the dude, I swear he hates everybody that's not on his team. Like there's just something about him. And then you go to Gable. Gable's not the typical heavyweight, right? Because I've seen comments a lot of the time, people just talking shit about guys because they lose the game with Steve. And I remember one time I replied, I'm like, oh, damn, RBY is not fast because he couldn't beat Usain Bolt in a race. And it was, yeah, dude, some of these people just pissed me off. Did I tell you about the Don Bradley thing that went down today?
Yeah, you know, fear slow. Show that blast over, yeah.
Yeah. The dude puts it on his story. He's like, these clowns beg for clout when the dude has, like, less than half the amount of followers as me. But, yeah. So, you know what we have to talk about next, the trials. You know, what do you think about, like, just, like, coming to that tournament, what are you looking forward to?
The world trials, you're saying?
The junior trials is the only one you wrestled at, right? Did you wrestle at?
Yeah, junior. So, going into the tournament, I was very I want to take a couple steps back, but this is leading up to it. Super 32, you know, I'd say my mindset going into that was like a little. I was pretty relaxed, but there's still some nerves. This junior world trials, man, I didn't care at all. Like I felt so like unnervous, so prepared. I wrestled with college guys. They're not. You know, they may not be killer in the college levels, but they're still good guys. Definitely see my progress going, you know, still, you know, may even if I was picked to beat these guys, you know, I'm doing my job, you know. So definitely was relaxed. I had some, you know, well-known college guys, like, you know, schools are well-known anyways, but I definitely got after it. Yeah. But, you know, doing both styles, I think definitely to widen my I think it's good to be dangerous, you know, in all positions. I think some guys are scared of Greco. I don't know why. I think it's the best thing as far as, you know, developing your arsenal, adding more to your arsenal. I think upper body attack, especially translating to folk style, is a little bit underrated. I think it's an awesome tool to utilize, catch guys off guard. But yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, like, see, from your perspective, obviously you're out there is like, oh, I have to win this match. I have to win every match. You know, obviously that's going to be your thought process. How am I going to go about winning this match? Right. From my perspective, obviously this is one of the brackets I scouted. I knew who you were, but, like, you know, obviously the overwhelming favorite was Braxton Amos. I look at the bracket. Yeah. If anybody's most likely to throw, it's going to be the sophomore in high school. That's probably the most unbiased take, right? He's going to get overwhelmed with these bigger, stronger guys. And then you make it to the finals. I'm like, okay, you're in the finals. So is Braxton Amos. He's outscored his opponents, what, 87-0 or something like that at that point?
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, okay, if he – 77. So I'm like, if he wins 10-0 both these matches up to 97 points, right? So I'm like, what can you do? First, I mean, obviously you could go out there and beat him. You know, I mean, that obviously didn't come through. It's whatever it is, but if you score on him, obviously that's probably a lot bigger of a statement than it really should be, just based on how dominant he was the entire tournament. But, you know, before I say the rest, you want to just talk about, like, what your thought process was going through the match. Like, what were your kind of, like, nerves feeling like going up against probably one of the greatest high school wrestlers of all time?
For sure. Going into the match, I would say I was pretty relaxed. Even with the right mind, he's such a beast, man. Going to Greco, I honestly was – I didn't care about that. I mean, I had two Greco practices before the Junior World Trials. Like, I didn't even expect myself to be, you know, in the finals, to be honest. Because my first match, I had the juniors runner up from the year before, and I teched him and go and teched everyone. I teched everyone I wrestled with outside of Amos last weekend. But yeah, you know, going to the match, I was, you know, like I said, I didn't really care. Now, when I was in the match, feeling him and feeling how strong he was. And I think my style, more Midwest hand fighter type of dude, and feeling him, you know, outdo me in my own style. And Greco definitely, you know, he was a beast. He just mauled me up. But in freestyle, my first match, I tried to hand fight him because that's my style, and he's a beast. Then I realized, you know, I got teched, and he beat me in my own game. So my second match, I knew a couple things right away. I was like, hey, I got to make adjustments mid-match, like for my next match. I have to make adjustments. I have to shoot. I have to maybe resort to maybe some outside shots from space or stuff like that. Me and my dad were making a game plan up. I knew I was going to head pinch him going to the match because I knew I'm probably, you know, it was a boy versus man, like everyone was saying. I probably wasn't going to, you know, beat him head-to-head, do this stuff like that. So if you actually look at my first match, I try to hit a super duck real quick, which I end up getting stuff right away. But then you got that turnaround, then I got that tight head pinch. And once I got the head pinch, dude, I was like, oh, this is going over. I got it real tight. I was like, for sure. I knew I had to get to the head pinch, or, you know, obviously I had some other things in my arsenal, but I just knew I had to get to a few moves, slow it down a little bit going into the match. And I ended up scoring. Then he ended up, you know, mauling me. But I think if we rematched, I started feeling myself a little bit. Then he started picking up the intensity, which, you know, by his part, you know, awesome. But I don't know, man. I don't think, you know, I could get teched again. But I thought, you know, I don't know. I think I'd make the adjustments I need to make it a little bit better match than what it was.
From my general perspective, it wasn't more of – him just being better, just more of him just being older. Because every time we used to see him in high school, he was always the younger guy in winning these tactical close matches. I mean, obviously, he pissed him off with the 4-point throw. I mean, that just has to be – it is what it is. He was mad, too. But, you know, obviously then, you know, you saw him on the shrug. He was trying to take you. He just started clawing your face and all that. Just doing little things.
Hey man, I was so happy to see that because that tells you a lot I don't want to say two things because, you know, hey, he's a good dude. I don't want to, you know, strike any controversy and stuff like that. But, you know, the way he reacted, I can tell. All I'm going to say is I'm excited with my training and for the future. That's all I'm going to say because a lot of those things kind of tell me how he is, and I'm excited.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the fact of it is, you know, you lost the match, but you got inside set. That's not exactly what you just didn't do, right? And, you know, let's look at it from an unbiased perspective. Who are the two favorites for the national finals next year, 197 pounds? Braxton Amos and AJ.
Ferrari Amos.
Yeah, that's what everybody's looking for. And, you know, I made my pick. It was Braxton Amos. And, you know, if that falls through, you forward the dude, you know? And I don't even think he can be there next year, either at junior. So that's, you know, obviously you want to wrestle the best, but that's pretty much as yours to take, you know? And that's a whole ass Olympic trials finals. That's, you know, what he's done is crazy. And like, that just kind of overshadows what you've done. You don't really didn't get any credit for anything.
So, hey man, he won, you know?
Yeah, no.
Hey, you're not first, you're last.
Yeah. Were there any other notable guys in the bracket that I don't know about? Or was it just
I definitely just say, like I said, they weren't like crazy good college guys by any stretch, but they were from some notable schools, but that's about it.
Now, did Starachi wrestle at juniors?
I know.
No. Because they said he signed up.
He was
eligible, but he didn't wrestle. Okay. Because I know the same thing happened with the senior national with Jordan Burroughs, but he just chose not to wrestle.
Yeah.
I was waiting for the Imar Burroughs rematch, too. I was going to be hyped for that.
What about Devin Skasica up 9-0?
Oh, dude. Imar is like one of my favorite college wrestlers of all time.
Dude, I know. I know. Same.
Dude, like, he's probably – you have to agree. Like, he was two matches away from being literally one of the GOATs up there with, like, Kyle Dake, Kale Sanderson. Maybe not Kale, but, like, Kyle Dake, Logan Stieber. And, you know, the thing is – he's done just as much as David Taylor, but he's never going to be regarded near the same just because of what David Taylor is doing now.
Yeah.
You know, if you look at this one, Dake gets his run this year. If Imar gets a spot in 2024, he could very well be a gold medalist.
For sure. I definitely think there's going to be some guys nibbling at his heels, like Nolf and some of those guys, but honestly, I definitely think Imar's a man. Like, if you think about it, what – I want to say it's 2018. I might be wrong. 2018, he was against him at Final X.
Burroughs, 2019?
Or 2019, sorry. They had, I was thinking since we missed Worlds. 2019, not the 2018. I was there in 2018. He got teched. He got beat up that match. But 2019, he came he almost beat him. I mean, he almost won the spot in that, you know?
You know, people talk about, Burroughs dominated the third match. Like, you know, obviously, can you really take a Burroughs match where he wins on a flurry and kind of use it against him? Because that's – you see how many matches Jordan Burroughs has won just off of those. But, you know, it's easier said than done, but, like, if he just defended that flurry for, like, five more seconds, he's Jordan Burroughs, right? If he didn't get injured, who knows? He could have very well won the trials this year.
Yeah.
You know, I know we all talk about JL, but this could have literally been a Cinderella story because I genuinely think he can beat Sidikov. He's a great match against Chimizo. You know, meanwhile, Dake is going to be interesting.
Oh, I agree. I agree completely. I mean, Chimizo just got beat at, what, Euros?
Yeah, by Kozanov. And he did not make the Olympics.
Yeah.
He lost in the qualifiers. Dude,
it's going to be tough. I'm excited, though. It's going to be tough. I definitely think.
I got Chimizo winning the Olympics.
Okay, we're on the same boat. Same boat as that. Me and my dad were talking about, we're preparing this for, like, trying to put all these stats together. We're like, we're going with Chimizo, so.
It's like, how can you not like the dude, though?
For sure.
It's like, so many people were spamming his comment section after he beat Burroughs in that 3-2 match. It's like, was it a little bit off? Probably. But it's like, that wasn't it. His second leg didn't touch, so it's like, all right.
And what do you think? Sorry, go ahead.
No, you got it.
I was just going to say, 74, I mean, all the weights are stacked, don't get me wrong, but, dude, 65 kilograms, man. That's That's insane.
So hear me out. The worst part about this is nobody's going to watch it in the U.S. because J.O.'s not in.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Like, you look into it, you know, obviously I have a big Bajoran. I'm an Indian. So, I mean, we get one guy. It's ride or die. But, you know, who do I think is – dude, you know exactly what I'm going to mention about the last chance. But a lot of missed weight.
Yeah.
So yeah. I don't know how to feel about that.
In the Asian Games, what's his name? 57 kilograms, Japan.
Gucci.
Yeah, dude, like, what is up with this weight, dude? Like, geez.
The defending Olympic champion is out for the Olympics. Kachekishvili, Georgia. And it's like, that kind of, like, you know, you look at it, yeah, he has a Rashidov. I think Muskayev is still there.
Yeah.
Bajoran can't be overlooked.
Sabalov. Hey, Muskayev's my dog, man. I have him winning it. He's my underdog. I like him.
So, I think Rashidov is probably top dog right now, but it's kind of whatever.
Right. Is there Honorogu back, right? Did he just win Asians?
Is who back?
Adarogu from Japan. I think he won world title in 2018.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Bajoran forfeited that match. That's the thing.
Otagiro,
yeah, from Japan, yeah. He's good, you know. Bajoran would have beat him, though. That's all I'm going to say. It really hurt me when Bajoran got 6-0'd by Zane.
Yeah.
It was like one of them was him getting slipped. He slipped on the mat and gave up 4 points, essentially. And it was like, okay. But, you know, he probably beats J.O. 9 out of 10 times. And it's like, if he puts together a good run, you know, I think these guys aren't separated by, like, more than 2 points, like these top five guys.
Yeah.
So hear me out, right? 97 may just, you know, look at both stacked weight classes. 97 has to be put in there.
Yeah.
Because right now I have Snyder at fifth.
I would agree. Well, let me think. So we got Sadulayev, we got the Azerbaijan dude. I cannot think of his name for some reason. We got,
Who's the Azerbaijan dude? I have Mohamedian.
Shripov.
I have a Mohamedian over. He beat Mohamedian.
Yeah, then you have Otakazi from Georgia, who's always been kind of the mix.
There was some dude who just won something. I gotta actually check that out. He I swear he just won. United World Wrestling. So this 125 kilos, 97. Saratov.
Yeah.
The fact that some of these guys are just getting weird guys are getting stuck in this. You would think winning like an Olympic medal would or Olympic gold would at least qualify your team for a berth. I'm pretty sure it does, but the problem was Kachekishvili was low-key like a disappointment too, bumping up.
Dude, he was. He really was.
It's like once he got 61, it's like, you know, like obviously James Green got trashed at the Olympic trials. Now he's back to 70. Dude looks fantastic. He never really realized how much of a difference these weight cuts make.
For sure, man. Those kilos, I mean, Jesus sucks. Hey, is it Haji Aliyev? He's 65, right, from Azerbaijan?
Yeah, I think he is.
I mean, he had a close, I think Aliyev and Rashidov were first match at Worlds a couple years ago, something like that. And they had a fairly close match.
I haven't dug that far back, though. I don't know, man. I'm still because, no, man. See, hold up. Look at Snyder real quick. If Snyder doesn't medal, you know, with all everything's gonna be about the whole Jaden Cox scenario. It's like,
yeah, for sure.
In my mind, Jaden Cox was fighting for a bronze, and that's gonna piss so many people off when I say that.
I 1,000% agree with you. I think Sadulayev is probably going to go down as one of the greatest, if not the greatest, wrestler to ever live.
See, I can't go with the greatest if Lopez wins four.
That's fair. Yeah, but I mean,
Sadulayev was 20 years old when he won his first, though. So he just has to win one at 32. Yeah. I mean, obviously, easier said than done, but, you know.
My man did go from 24 to 2013 Cadet World Champ to 2014 Senior World Champ.
Sadulayev?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's been around for a minute. Like, I remember seeing some film of him, like, when he's back down, like, 74. Dude was small.
Yeah, you know, when he won at 86, definitely doesn't look like what he looks now.
Yeah, you know? I think if he bumps up to like 105 kilos, or like maybe like 107, 108, he could beat Taha. That may be a bold statement on my part, but
I completely agree with that one, dude. I think Sejulai, dude, I don't know. He's so unorthodox with his wrestling style, but yeah, I mean, he's just
– now he's just – he doesn't even need the most unorthodox stuff. He's just – like, he makes guys like Snyder just look normal, like, you know?
It's hard to say that, but you're right, you know?
Look at the dominance we see in 97. Like, it's obvious to why people think Jaden Cox will win a world gold, because he dominated 92. The fact of it is going to remain that 92 was a garbage weight class. Right.
I was going to say the exact same thing. I don't want to be like that guy, but the, you know, is that Iranian Karam, you know, he's not a world beater by any stretch, you know.
Dude, if you listen to my podcast, I curse like every 10 seconds. It's like, but like, I speak my mind. People get mad about it. It's like, whatever. I'm not going to lie to you. I told you guys J.O. wasn't going to qualify. You know, I'd rather not just lie to people and tell them I think he is, but. He also didn't lose in the way I thought he would lose, but it is what it is. I thought Ben was just going to come in and kind of rock his shit there.
True. Dude, Dave Habit was on the – or, yeah, I think his first name's Dave. Dave Habit was on the other side representing Slovan. Is he in
the Olympics?
I forgot. Who is he representing?
Serbia?
No. I'd have to look it up. I don't remember. Yeah, but then he also had – Fine Silver representing Israel.
I don't like Fine Silver, dude. He's just like, because everybody's gassing him up more than he was to be, just because him and Chimizo both took third.
Yeah.
It's like, we both know Chimizo bodies him any day.
Oh.
I think, you know, a lot of these foreign guys, they know how to peak perfectly. We just kind of fail to do it a lot of the time. Like, Chimizo is an Olympic medalist, right? You know, is there – look at the top guys at 74. You have Sidikov. Ramazov is out. You have Sidikov, Dake, Chimizo. Who's really else is left?
I mean, they're definitely the front runners for sure. I don't think anyone
– it's like
– yeah. If Dake, well, what's his name from Georgia? The France dude and the dude from Georgia, Kazim – Mizzi or something like that, then the France dude's pretty solid.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you also have to consider essentially, would you, I don't know if you'd consider them tier twos at this point, but it would definitely be an upset if you got into the top three. My mind
is for sure. If he
gets put on the same side as Sidikov, Chimizo's going to win.
Yeah. You think, dude, I think Kyle Dake's style is so awesome because he threatens so many guys from different positions, like Burrows. Burrows, all he did was take a shot and threaten him with the chest wrap the whole time. You know, like
Chimizo presents Burrows' athleticism with like the scoring, with like Yanni's funk, kind of.
Yeah, for sure. For sure, definitely.
That's like the way to put it. And like, his defense is just too good, but he has so much better of an offense and just ways to catch you. Because he took down Kyle Dake, got zero takedowns in that match when they wrestled. And this is when Chimizo was still building into 74. And Dake was at 79. Mm-hmm. You know, he wrestles match at 74. Chimizu gets an extra year there. Dake's down the cut. Does he get that gut wrench? Possibly not.
That's why I think Dake versus Burrows. Burrows is someone he can prepare for. Chimizu, I think he would be a hard guy to prepare for. His style is insane. I mean,
it's like, Dake, what do you have to do? It's not that complicated. It's just a matter of whether you can do it or not, whether you can get in those rings clean and finish.
You made the point earlier that those guys peak for the right tournaments and America doesn't or don't know how to peak that well compared to them. I think America's always peaked. I just think those guys are so much better at their peak when they are peaked, you know? Like, you know what I'm saying, if that makes sense.
How much of a problem is their conditioning?
Yeah, I mean, for the foreigns, I mean, when they're not peaked, no, but dude, when it's go time, they're a whole nother level. Like, USA is always good conditioning, but I feel like the foreigns, you know, until it's time to compete, they're good, dude.
I think one of the worst things I heard somebody say is Taha's gas tank is terrible. It's like, so hear me out, right? Look at Gable. If you could pick out one flaw, what is it? Gas tank. It's like, has Tahi even used the gas tank before? That's kind of thing. Like, Gino's been the only guy to score on him, and that's literally off of defensive moves, right? So it's like, that's really it.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm excited for that matchup, though. I definitely would say Taha's gas tank's terrible by any stretch. That kind of silly.
Gino pushes his pace so much. That's really it. If you watch what Taha did to Gwizdowski, people are like, oh, it's pretty much the same as what Gable did. It's like, it's a lot worse than what Gable did then. Taha literally toyed with him like a JV kid. Gable actually had to work to get the tech.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
It was bad. Like, how are you getting foot sweep? Like, dude hit him with an athletic Steve Mako. Like, I don't even know what to call that move. He was something else. But I think the last weight class we can talk about was 86. So.
Yeah.
Can Yazdani do it? Or does Taylor beat him?
Who's also in that? Gazmetov? Or am I thinking the other one?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure if he's in this weight class. I don't really pay attention to this weight.
I definitely think they separated themselves. I don't think the mind's going to be – I think Taylor's going to walk in and do what he does typically. But, yes, Donnie, man, I don't know. Because looking at their very first match, like, that – I don't know. I feel like, yes, Donnie was kind of dominating at the beginning. Then Taylor kind of came back and edged him out. I don't know how you feel about that match, their first meet. But
in my mind, I want to pick Yes, Donnie. But he may be hating on the USA at that point. So Yazdani was bumping up to 86. These guys don't give a shit about non-Olympic weight class. So he went from 74 to 86.
Yep.
You know, and Yazdani kind of bullied him for the beginning of that match. And, you know, 86 could very well be a different story. Yeah,
He had all these worlds to prep up. I think that was such a valid point you made, was those guys go straight to the Olympic weight because they care about the Olympics, and that preps them for, 4 years until they actually got to be a full-size whatever.
I think the biggest case of this is Mihan selling Cuba selling world titles. And it's like, that sucks so bad, because the one argument against him for being the GOAT is that Karelin had every single world title and he doesn't. You know, it's like the whole – that's why I'm not a fan of the whole bashing guys for roids thing, because half the times it's forced upon you by the country. Like, we saw what Iran did. Like they don't give a shit about you. Like, they executed the one dude for something pretty
damn – Yeah, for protesting or something like that.
Yeah, they said his brother killed the guards, so they killed him, something like that.
Yeah.
You know, obviously those are not comparable to the U.S., but it's like the one you – Tamazov – getting two gold medals stripped for roids. We all know Karelin was on stuff, but did he?
No.
We all know Mihan Lopez is on something, and Sacha Live's on something. It's like, you know, and like the whole Satiev argument comes down to that too. It's like, just because he wasn't that jack doesn't mean he wasn't on roids. That's just kind of my whole take on that. But
yeah, I mean, I definitely think it's a controversial thing. Like, I was listening to that Burroughs and Joe Rogan podcast, and they're, you know, kind of talking about getting that situation and stuff like that. And it's one of those things that's tricky, man. Like, I know there's the Sochi scandal with Russia. They're swapping out the samples with the whatever their CIA is. It's
I know like countries KGB. Threaten to kill the people that if they can get the country test them to. It's like, tell me, there's definitely a chance that Burroughs and Dake are on some like TRT or something, right? And it's going to piss people off, like, because everybody thinks the whole world is fucking sunshines and rain. Like, nothing's going on there. I guarantee, like, 90% of medalists have been on something at some point in their life. It's just who gets caught or who doesn't. No?
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely think it's kind of that game, like, cat and mouse. And
it's like dismissing the fact that Karelin's the GOAT because he did steroids is like, you know for a fact that steroids doesn't just make you a 3-time Olympic champ.
Exactly, especially a sport like wrestling. You think about it, you got guys like look at Evan Wick. He's no muscular bound dude, but he beats these guys because our sport is such a craft, such an art that, you know, strength has no factor. Yeah. You know, I definitely does, don't get me wrong, but I'm just saying, like, how much, though, really? I mean, I'm just saying, you see guys that are unathletic, not the strong win at the highest level, too. But I don't get me wrong, it definitely helps, you know, but I don't know how much.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. But, yeah, since we talked about all the weight classes, I think we should probably start wrapping it up now. So, last question we always ask. I mean, I always ask. I don't have a co-host anymore. Shit. But one guy, high school guy, that you want to wrestle, who would it be?
One high school guy. One high school guy, I get it. One wrestle. I have two answers, but I'm going to – the second one is who I want to wrestle. I want to wrestle Tate, but he got injured. Piccolo. I wanted that number one wrestle off, but –
Picking dudes. Tate commented on the YouTube video. I was about to get him on a podcast.
Definitely Nick Feldman.
Right,
I know I'd be going up a weight, giving up some weight. And he's a beast. He's a strength. He's a monster, dude. But I definitely want to wrestle him.
I mean, I don't want to say, but I think Nick Feldman's pound for pound number one in the country, in my opinion.
I'd agree for high school, yeah.
I just think he's the best guy in the country. And I really
– I would say that.
Okay, you know. Huh? Who do you have?
Jesse Mendez. Pound for pound.
I still got to rock with Feldman. I'm sorry. Because pound for pound seems kind of stupid. It's like, how good are you for your weight class? Not how good.
Yeah.
Because, you know, pound for pound kind of phrase is more relative than pound for pounds, right? Because if Gable was there, you could always make the argument. If Gable's 125, Spencer would beat him. Which, who knows, necessarily true, right? But, you know, move Spencer up to heavyweight, Gable mops the floor with him.
Yeah.
It just goes both ways. I just personally think Feldman's number one. But, you know, I'll give you your shot. If you can make it happen, I'll gladly eat my words there. But, yeah, so.
I'm sure he's going to be going up to heavyweight.
Yeah.
He was on my ultimate duel team, and he went heavyweight, so I'm sure he's going up. His dad's a monster. He's a monster, so.
He hopped into me and Noah's live, and he said he's going 215 or something like that.
Yeah.
Dude's literally a Kyle Snyder. Like, I don't know. I saw him number one, and I can't get over that. Like, he moves, like, so fluidly, too. Like, I don't know what there is. I'm sorry. I'm just kind of dissing you right now with that choice. But, yeah.
No, that's your opinion, man.
I mean, personally, I'll be honest with you. Feldman's a huge favorite there, but who knows? Like, I've seen Chase beat Keontae. Yeah, he was number one. Like, Drake Ayala beating Richie Figueroa. Like, we've seen crazier things, you know?
Yeah. I'd be giving up some weight, but, you know, I definitely think it'd be interesting. He's a bull in a china shop, man. He's a beast.
Dude could very well be a four-time All-American. You know, I don't know about national champ, just with the caliber of guys that are there. But, yeah. So, all right, I'll start to wrap this up. Thank you, man, for coming on. No, really appreciate it.
Thanks for letting me.
Yeah, it was a great opportunity to get to talk to you, talk about some great things, and thank you guys for listening to episode 82 of Late Night Shots, and we'll see you guys again next time.